Dear friends, please turn with me in your Bibles to the second letter of the Apostle Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 4, that which was our second scripture reading this morning. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4. And verse 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and it's verse 6 that we will be focusing on this morning. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And our subject this morning is darkness and light. Darkness and light. This is a verse and indeed a passage that speaks of the light of the gospel and the darkness of the world around us. And it is a very apt time to consider these words of the Apostle Paul, writing in his second letter to the Corinthians, or the second inspired letter to the Corinthians, we should say. There are some indications that the Apostle Paul wrote more than just two letters to the Corinthians, but the point is only two of them were inspired. Only two of them were inspired of the Holy Spirit and preserved for us to learn, for the church to learn from throughout the centuries. So this is the second inspired letter to the Corinthians. And of course, that is to say to the church in Corinth, to the believers in a place called Corinth. And Corinth is, of course, in modern day Greece. You can still visit Corinth. In fact, you can still see the very place where the Apostle Paul stood, if you ever get the chance to go. We know from the book of Acts that the Apostle Paul had to stand before the tribunal, before a man called Gallio, and they discovered the exact place where the Apostle Paul had to stand, where anyone had to stand if they were brought by to a tribunal in Corinth. They were told to stand in a certain place, and that place even is still preserved. So Paul was there. He is a historical figure. We know that the scripture, of course, is true history, true from the very beginning. And these words particularly are so full of truth, so full of the gospel. They explain the gospel message to us and what it was that the Apostle Paul preached. And these words, they are so profound, they're so deep, we could spend a lot of time going through almost every word and preaching a sermon from it. But these things really I will only touch on. But what did the Apostle Paul preach? Well, we look even at verse 5. These words are interesting. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And this is, of course, very true, is it not? When we preach, when I preach the gospel, I am not preaching myself to you. I am not commending myself to you or trying to convince you of how great I am. Of course not, because I'm not great. It's the Lord who is great, and I must preach him. We do not preach ourselves. We preach the Lord. And when we go out as a church, when we go out to knock on doors, or when we go out to preach on the street, as we have done just recently, the great aim is not to get people to join our church. Our message is not that we are wonderful people and you'll be much happier if you just come and know us and have a time with us. That's not what we preach at all. No, we are pointing to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who you need. He is the one who is able to save you. You are not saved by visiting this church or even by joining this church, East Dulwich Tabernacle. We cannot save you. It's Christ. We don't preach ourselves. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord. And we ought always to remember that there is nothing special in us as Christians. We point, the whole point of the church is to point to Christ. So this is a great lesson just from the very outset. We preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, the Lord, and ourselves, your servants, for Jesus' sake. Everything that we do, all our ministries, all our labors in the church, it's not for us to puff us up or to show you how good we are. It's for the Lord's sake. But then we consider those words in verse 6, for God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. These words are tremendously important. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. This is our subject, light and darkness. Now, let us start perhaps by considering this. Very simple. When we think of light and darkness, well, of course, we think of contrast. We think of a difference. Light and darkness, they are different. They are not the same. And the contrast that is represented here in this passage, when the Apostle Paul is speaking of light and darkness, well, he is making the contrast, the great contrast between the things of God and the things of the world. Light and darkness, they are different. The things of God and the things of the world. Now, which one is which? Of course, you don't need me to explain that. Which one is light? Well, God is light. Of course, we know this. This is what we read in 1 John and chapter 1. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. This is how we present the Lord to the world around us. We live in a world that is full of darkness, but God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. You see, this speaks of God's holiness. God is holy. This is one of the first things, the most important thing we need to know about God, about the Lord. He is a holy God. And this is so often forgotten, even in modern Christianity. Yes, we speak and we do well to speak about God's love and about God's mercy and about God's grace. But dear friends, we will never understand the gospel and why we need Christ if we don't understand his holiness. He is a holy God. In him there is light and there is no darkness at all. So this is who God is to us, the God of everlasting light. And the Lord Jesus Christ himself declared, did he not, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, of course, he is saying, I am the light of the world, because he is God. God says, we declare, in God is light and there is no darkness. The Lord himself said, I am the light of the world, because he is God. And we know this, and we say this constantly. He is equal with the Father, the eternal Son of God. And he is the one who brings that light. He is the light of life, he calls himself. And life and light go together. You cannot have one without the other. Life is called light in the scriptures. And so you cannot truly have life, true life, without light, without the Son of God, without he who is the light of the world. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, we read in John chapter 1 and verse 4. And this is so very important for us. The light of men. Do you have that light, dear friends? And Christ's people? Well, the church itself is called light. You know that we, if we call ourselves Christians, we ourselves are called light. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said to us. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Let your light so shine before men. So, dear friends, before I make the gospel applications, we who are Christians, Does this describe us? Can we say that we are truly the light of the world, light to all those around us? This world is so dark. Where is the light coming from? It's supposed to come from us. It's supposed to come from the church. Light, because we represent the living God and we are different to the world. The world is darkness and we are light. So dear friends, all I'm endeavoring to do at the beginning is just to establish the contrast. The church is light, the world is darkness. And dear friends, this is what I so often say. So many churches want to be like the world, and it cannot be so. There's a contrast, light and darkness. And yet what do we see so often? The church says, well, we have to be like the world or else they'll never come to us. We have to be exactly like them and, you know, do all the things that they do and enjoy all the things that they enjoy. Well, then where is the contrast? The contrast is being lost. You go to a church, it's almost exactly like the world. But dear friends, here's the contrast. Light, darkness, they are different. And it's a very simple message to teach, but how often we forget it. We are not the same as the world. God is not the same as the world. The church is not the same as the world. There is a difference. There is a contrast, light and darkness. But sadly, there are so many who are in darkness. Why are there so many people in darkness? We have to think about these things, particularly in the modern time, in recent days. Well, there are two reasons I'm going to touch on. One is very clearly laid out by the Apostle Paul in this passage. Look at verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Well, now this is very interesting. Again, we could spend a very long time on this. Who is the God of this world? Well, I know many of you know this. The God of this world is not the true and living God. It's not the everlasting God. Of course not. It's a God with a small g, but nevertheless, it's the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Who blinds people. So God, the true God, he sends light so that we can see things. But this God, the God of this world, he actually keeps people in darkness. Blindness, when you're blind, you're in darkness. That's the God of this world. Who is the God of this world? Well, you know it. This is, of course, our spiritual adversary, Satan himself, the enemy of God, the enemy of the church, the tempter, the God of this world. And well, again, so much I want to say, but you know that in this letter, later on, even in this very same letter, what does Paul say of Satan? Well, he actually masquerades, he pretends that he is an angel of light. He always imitates God. We know this about Satan. Whenever God does something, Satan imitates it. And Satan, well, he pretends that he is an angel of light. And this is how he blinds people. This is how he persuades people, keeps people under his control, under his dominion. And well, we've seen this even in recent days. You all know the laws that have just been passed, laws that are completely ungodly, laws that speak of death and not life. And yet, well, how is it all cloaked and clothed? Well, it's all compassion, it's all light. These are compassionate things we are doing. You see, Satan presents himself as an angel of light. To do this, it's kind. It's a kind thing. To do this, it sets us free. Sets us free from all the old times and all the rigorous, strict things of the past. I'm an angel of light, you see. I present it. Is this not tolerant? Is this not more loving, more kind than God? I'm more loving than God. God will not allow you to do this. The Bible will not allow you to do this. I am more loving than he is. I am more kind than he is. Can't you see that? And this is how Satan blinds the hearts and the minds of the world. As an angel of light, I'm such a wonderful, kind being and person. And so this is how it is. He blinds the minds of them which believe not. And of course, he blinds the minds of people not just to do wicked things, but to keep them from God. You know, in the time of the writing of this letter, Satan was blinding the minds of many by pagan religions, through philosophy, Greek philosophy. That's how he distracted them. That's how he turned them away from God. It's the same now. So many things distracting people away from God. So many new philosophies. So many new moralities. So many new ideas of what it is to be just and what it is to be tolerant. It's to turn people away from the Word of God. He blinds people. And worldly pleasures, of course. He dangles worldly pleasures in front of our eyes. It's like a child. You know, sometimes you see a child on a bus with a phone or a tablet, and they're distracted, they're absolutely captivated by what's on the tablet to such a degree that they're totally blind to what's going on around them. Anything could be going on around them, they don't see it, they're captivated, they're staring at the screen. This is how Satan has got us. Look at all the worldly pleasures, all the things in the world, and we're just captivated, and we're blind to the gospel. Blind to what is really going on around us, to the decline around us. Dear friends, I have to preach this morning to point out the wiles of Satan. So Satan, this is why there's so much darkness. Satan, the god of this world, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. But dear friends, we have to add this, because some people will say to you, oh, well, if Satan has blinded my mind, well, then it's not my fault. If I don't believe in God, well, it's got nothing to do with me. You've just said it's the God of this world that has blinded my mind. So it's not really my fault, is it? It's just all Satan's fault. Well, dear friends, that is not the case. We read in the scriptures that we ourselves, we are fallen people. There is a problem with our hearts. We are blinded by Satan. This is why we are blinded by Satan, because our hearts are already corrupt. They are already inclined towards darkness. They're not inclined towards the light. And you know what I will say? I say this verse very often. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You read that? Men love darkness. Got nothing to do with Satan here. Light has come into the world. The gospel has come into the world. But what do men do? They love darkness rather than light. You see, this is what we saw. We went out onto the streets just on Thursday evening, East Dulwich Station. Light has come into the world. Do we see people flocking to us to hear about Christ? To hear about forgiveness, to hear about everlasting life and the love of God? We don't see that. We don't see people flocking. They're running away. They're hiding. They want us to shut up, turn off the preaching, turn off the speaker, go away and never come back. Well, it was a living illustration. In fact, I said this to someone. This proves the Bible to be true. Your reaction proves that the Bible is correct. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, man, he prefers to be under the dominion of sin, under the dominion of Satan. This is his own preference, because we have hearts that are fallen, hearts that are corrupt, hearts that are stony. But dear friends, I have to come to the good news. Look at this, verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts. Yes, our hearts are fallen. That's what the Bible concludes. We are all fallen men and women with hearts that do not desire God and do not want God to reign over us. But God can change our hearts. And in the time of the apostle, he did change the hearts of the people. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. You know what this is a reference to ultimately? God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. It's a reference to the very beginning of the Bible. When there was darkness over the face of the waters, what did God do? Well, what was the first commandment of God? Let there be light. That was God's first words, the first words that we read in the scriptures of the Lord. Let there be light. He commanded light to shine out of darkness. The first act of creation, dear friends, he can work a new creation in you. If you are here, if you're sat listening to these things, you don't have anything in your heart for the Lord. You don't care. You don't care what I'm saying. You don't care about the gospel. You don't care about Christ. Dear friends, we were all like that at one stage. Every Christian was like that. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, even at the very dawn of time, do you not think he can change you? He can change your heart. Turn your heart from a heart of stone into a heart of flesh, a heart that knows the Lord. Dear friends, this is the kind of knowledge we have to have of God. It's a heart knowledge. There are many people who only know Christ with the head. They know a lot about Christ. They know a lot about Scripture. Perhaps they've even memorized Scripture. And they know everything. They know all the theology. I've met people like this. They know everything, almost everything there is to know about Christian life and history and theology. But dear friends, their hearts are far from God. Christianity is a heart religion. It's not an intellectual exercise. It's not something you have to work out and then you get the right answer. Dear friends, this is to do with the heart. You must love the Lord. That's the right response. You don't have to pass an exam. This is love for the Lord. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, not our heads. This is what makes a Christian. It begins with the heart. Christ has loved me. How much has he loved me? He gave himself for me. This is the greatest act of love he could have ever performed, to give himself, to die on the cross, the worst death imaginable, to suffer and to die for 6 hours on the cross, an agonizing death. And it wasn't, of course, just the bodily suffering. It was the suffering of his soul. He was taking upon himself the punishment for all of our sins. All the sins that we have committed were laid upon him. Agony of soul, the wrath of God upon himself. Dear friends, this was all out of love. He didn't have to do this. The Lord could have just remained in heaven and let fallen man, each and every one by one, go to hell, go to everlasting loss. He could have done that. And that would have been perfectly right and just and fair, because we're sinners. But Christ, what moved him? It was love that moved our Lord and Savior. It's our hearts, dear friends. That's where the light has to come in and to shine, in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Dear friends, these things are so important. We're almost out of time, but the only way that you can know the glory of God is in the face of Jesus Christ. If you have seen him, this is what he said to one of his disciples. If you have seen me, you have seen the Father. And so it is true, there is no other way. There is no other way to see the glory of God except in the face of Jesus Christ. He that hath the Son hath the Father. And what joy that brings to everyone who believes, the only way to God. Well, dear friends, I close simply by asking this. What is your state? What is your state this day, this morning? Can you say that you are in the light? Can you say that you are living in the light of the gospel? Or are you still in that darkness? Are you still blinded? blinded by the God of this world. Dear friends, this is such a terrible tragedy. Satan blinds you to your danger. You know, one illustration that I have heard from a preacher, and I'll close with this. One illustration, imagine a blind man who goes for a walk in the country, and he's walking for some time, and eventually, well, he ends up walking along a cliff edge. But of course, he doesn't know because he's blind. He doesn't know what danger he is in. One wrong step, and he will fall off the precipice to his death. But he's totally unaware of these things. He is blind. Dear friends, that is the picture of every unbeliever, everyone who does not have Christ. You've been blinded. You don't know the danger that you are in. You are on the precipice. At any moment, any given moment, your life may be out. And where will you be? Dear friends, you must seek the Lord. You must seek that sight. Pray to God. Say, Lord, give me that sight. Shine upon me. Help me to see my state, my true condition. Help me to see my need of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, more than ever before, I've never seen it before. I've been blinded by the things of this world. Help me to see Christ and to know him and to love him with my heart. That is how we are saved, dear friends. This is what the Apostle Paul is preaching. He did not preach himself. We do not preach ourselves. You'll only be disappointed if you trust in men. But Christ Jesus the Lord, the one who is the light of this world, you turn to him and you will live in everlasting light and peace and joy. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us.